Oh yeah, David said, as a young man, my brothers talked about me. They despised me and told me, you just got some stuff in your heart. You need to get away from here. My brothers rejected me. And David said, as a young man, I was not even able to become king of all Israel. I had to just be king of Judah because people didn't want no part with me as a young man. But I know God was still with me. Just because people don't accept you, just because people don't approve you, don't mean that God is not with you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Just because some folks don't enjoy what you have done in life and people can't celebrate you, that does not mean that you're not a good man. All that means is that I got people who can't recognize a good man. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, we need to be able to recognize them, not for their faults, not for their failures, but for their ability to continue, for them being competent enough to stay with it, to be able to overcome. I wish I had somebody. I need to be content, and I need to continue doing what God wants me to do. This is what marks me as a good man, is because I won't stop at trouble. I won't stop at failure, but I get back up and say, Lord, help me to get over this. Help me to get through this. And as I go through, I say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Y'all not with me this morning? It's all right to say amen in here. He said, not only will God prepare you, but God protect you, and then God will provide for you. God provides for the young and the old good men. Amen. God, he says that I've been young and now I'm old, but I haven't seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of trouble. I've seen a lot of people, but I do know that God is right there with me. He said, I've been young and I'm old. I've been through some stuff that youngsters go through. I did the same things that young people do, but God was right there. Y'all don't hear me. I've been some places that I shouldn't have been. I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. Oh, but I did some other things that I should have did, and they were good. And I realized if it hadn't been for God with me, I wouldn't have made it through. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah. He said, God provided a way. God provided an understanding. God provided a path. Your Bible said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need to understand a good man understands that God is a provider. He don't look to other people. He said, God, it's me and you. The Lord will provide. Come here, Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. His son said, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice. Abraham said, the Lord will provide. I wish I had somebody here. And then he came off that mountain calling him Jehovah Jireh. You see, a good man understands who Jehovah Jireh is. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh will provide when you need it. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh, that whenever you need the money, when your money is funny and your change is strange, that God will be with you to help you through it all. I'm not telling you that your pockets are going to be full all the time, but what I'm telling you is that if your heart is full of love and you're full of the Holy Ghost, then God will show you a way. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for him, but it's been revealed by his Spirit. Come on and say amen. God will provide. God has good plans for us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. But not only will God provide for the good man, but the Bible said that God will provide for his children. He said, I have been young and now I am old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. I haven't experienced God's leaving me. I haven't experienced God letting me down. I haven't experienced God disappointing me. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. In other words, the seed, the children of the good men, the children of a good man don't have to beg, because God not only gives to the man, but he gives to the man's seed. And that's why I'm here to let you know that I'm not going to be like everybody else and say good men finish last. The Bible said that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so I'm doing good, and I might not ever reap the benefit, but I'm looking out for my children. Every seed I sow, I might not get back a harvest. this, but I know my children will get it. Come on and shout yes. A good man can buy a field. A good man can plant a seed, but the harvest may go to his children. And all I'm trying to say today is stop being so selfish and start looking at the greater good. Start looking at it and realizing that the things I'm doing today is not really for me, but it's for my children and my children's children. Do you know that God will bless all generations because you are a good man? That's why he kept reminding them, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I wish I had somebody here that realized that he is our father's God. And I thank God for my grandfather. I thank God for my grandmothers who thought enough of me that they would help people in the community, because one of these days, who knows what I'm going to need? Who knows what helping hand I'm going to need? But I'm so glad that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Do you know who the greatest man is? I'm talking about somebody now who's not just a good man, but he was a great man. He came through 39 prophets and 40 in two generations. He took up an old rugged cross. He said that I lay my life down. No man take my life, but I lay it down for my friends. He said, greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. I wish I had somebody. They called him good master. He said, ain't nobody good but God. Come on and shout yes here. But when I think about this good man, he took my sin and yours, went up on a rugged cross. They put nails in his hands and feet, but they forgot what the good man said. He said, if I be lifted up, a good man can draw people. I wish I had somebody. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. A good man was so good that he looked down from the cross and saw his mother crying, but he didn't leave his mama by herself. He told John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. I wish I had somebody. See, a good man takes care of the family while he does the will of God. I wish I had somebody. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sound like a good man. A good man told another man who had been a bad man. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. See, a good man is not a selfish man. Come on and shout yes here. But let me tell you about this good man. This good man died. He died. He gave up the ghost so that I can live. Do I have any witness? But the Bible says he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But let me tell you about death. See, if a good man, death can't hold a good man. The grave can't hold a good man. Because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Do I have a witness here? Do anybody know him? Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Somebody say yes. I'm talking about Jesus. My grandmother's lily of the valley. My grandfather's bright morning star. I'm talking about Jesus. Abel's vindicator. Moses' burning bush. Come on and shout yes. Samson's bomb. Solomon's wisdom. Do I have anybody? Come on and say yes. He was Jeremiah's fire. Shut up in his bones. Ezekiel's wheel. In the middle of the wheel. Come on and shout yes. He was David's battle axe in the time of the battle. Say yes, but he's my savior. He's your redeemer. And if like Job, I know my redeemer lives. Somebody say yes. If you're redeemed of the Lord, you ought to say so. I wish I had some people that say I'm redeemed. And I'm so glad that he justified me. That makes me good. It's not what I did, but it's what God did that makes me good. I'm good because God is all good. The word good is a derivative from God. In other words, I'm a God. God. Even though I make some mistakes, but I still look to God. I may have some faults, but I still look to God. I may have some failures, but I still look to God. Do I have anybody here that say, I look to God for all my problems? I look to God for all my troubles. I still look to God. I look to the hills, for whence cometh my help. For my help come from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Won't God help you? Won't God change you? Won't God fix you? Won't God forgive you? Won't God make you whole? Won't God straighten your life? Won't God keep your children? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yeah! Say yeah! I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? Well, shout yeah! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? If you know he's all right, come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not be so good, but I know somebody who is. And I may not know three things. I may not know two things. And one thing I know, I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Hallelujah. I know he's all right. Thank you, Jesus. A good man.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The root of bitterness is underground. It's easy to hide and camouflage. Seldom do you find anyone who will admit that they are a bitter person. They will either deny it or disguise it. A bitter person is hypersensitive, ungrateful, insincere, holds grudges, and has mood swings. One minute they all right with you, and the next minute they could snap your head off. Bitterness will affect you physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because the fruit of bitterness is an acid that destroys its container. When your heart is bitter, God will not be real to you, because hatefulness and holiness do not dwell in the same heart. And without holiness, you will not see the Lord. If you don't deal with the seed, it's just a matter of time before the fruit manifests. If you have a deep-seated hurt embedded in you, you just can't cut it off at the surface. You know how sometimes people will deal with the symptom of something, and it's just like, it would be just like, oh, you got a bad plant that you want to get out of your yard, and you go and just cut the top off. Have you done anything? No. Why? Because the root is still there. And long as that root is there, I done cut weeds down. I take the weed eater. Yeah, what I'm doing, I'm cutting the surface off, right? Two more weeks, it done shot up even stronger, bigger, more stuff on it. You know, almost like all you did was prune it. So some people prune they hurt, and they don't never deal with the root. Now, it don't grow up overnight, but guess what? In a matter of time. See, it's just a matter of time before that plant come right there. And if you really want to get rid of it, then you have to put something on it that's going to get down to that root. Wow. You got to put some Roundup on it. Right? Roundup or kill it. Now, the Roundup I'm talking about is the word. You better run to some word. Drink you a lot of word. Get some word down in your spirit. Love will kill it. See, love will kill the root of bitterness. It can't grow in you if you walk in love. It can't grow. See, bitterness comes from a hurt. Unforgiveness, you know, is another part of that. That it's a seed of unforgiveness. When you don't forgive because you've been hurt, then it will grow. And if you just deal with the symptoms on it and you just cover it up and mask it and, I mean, paint it and make it look good, you know, still, if you allow it to grow, then one day it's going to manifest. It's going to produce just what that seed is. People say that hurt people hurt people. Why? Because that seed is in them. That's all they can produce. If they got a hurt seed in them, then all they can manifest is hurt. So if you just cut it off and just deal with the, just put a weed eater to it, it's just going to be a matter of time that it's going to grow back. And if you're not paying attention to your lawn, then the fruit could come out. Then you got a problem. And then everybody else know you got a problem. So how does bitterness manifest? I gave you some, but let me give you some more. Out of all the things, when the Lord started talking about chastisement, the one thing that he talked about was dealing with bitterness. It means if you're walking in bitterness, you're not walking in love. If you're not walking in love, then you're walking in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, then Satan have access to your life. He have an open door to come and mess with you whenever he get ready. Because you can nurse a hurt. How many of you ever nursed a hurt? Every one of us have done it. You know you nurse a hurt by telling somebody. I got to tell somebody what they did to me. You know, you get bitter at somebody, you want to knock their head off. You can get violent. I got bitter at a person. This was before I got saved. I had that seed of bitterness in me. I was bitter toward a person who hurt me. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't stand the ground they walked on. I despised them. Didn't even want to hear their name called. And God delivered me from that when I got saved. And he did it through his love. Through me receiving God's grace, and one day God told me, he came to me, and he brought that person up to me. He said, now, you have bitterness in your heart toward them. You have unforgiveness in your heart, and you've been carrying it for a long time. And I look down, and then I say, I sure do. I do. That's one of the keys right there to getting free and getting the root out, is that you got to admit it. If you cover it up and hide it, then it's going to keep on growing. You got to pull the light on and say, I say, Lord, you're right. I say, I do. I admit it. I have bitterness in my heart toward this person. He said, I want you to forgive him and let it go. I said, okay, I'll do it. And I did it right there on the spot. And that root come up out of me. I don't feel that way about that person anymore. I changed how I felt. If you pray for the people that have hurt you, the seed won't ever get planted. If you have a heart of good ground, then that good ground and that bad seed just ain't gonna mix. You gotta keep your heart good, good ground. All right, now how does it manifest? You say, well, how do I know when somebody walking in bitterness? Well, when you have these things in abundance coming, I'm not saying that one incident of these things here mean, you know, if somebody get mad at you, oh, they got bitterness. Ooh, they bitter. They got mad. No, I ain't talking about that. Everybody get mad. I ain't talking about incidents of things happening. I'm talking about when there's a pattern of consistency that you see this manifested over and over and over and over again, and that really becomes the character trait of that person. When that's the predominant character trait, then you can say they probably got a root of bitterness in them. All right, here's some of the signs right here. Anger, people that are mad all the time. Discontentment, people that are unsatisfied all the time, that you can't never do nothing to make them happy. They're always discontent and unsatisfied. These are people that you cannot please. Frustration, people that's always frustrated, people that's always complaining, criticizing others, fault-finding, and murmuring. They always have their mouth on somebody else. And you ask them about themselves, ain't nothing wrong with them. Yeah, but what about what you do? Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. But their mouth always on somebody else. I'm going to tell you, they got something deep working in them. So you have to kind of, I don't want y'all walking around here looking at each other with your, with your eyes all raised up. I don't want no cockeyed people in here. This is not the church of the cockeyed. Okay. I don't want you cockeyed. I don't want you sniffing around somebody like you some Holy Ghost detective. I'm trying to sniff out the bitterness in here. You're not the Holy Ghost hound. You know what I'm talking about? I want you to be normal. You just seek peace with everybody. Just make your mind up you're going to love everybody. And then when you run into that, you say, no, wait a minute, I know. Okay, this person here probably got a problem here, but I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray for them, you know, and then I'm going to guard myself. I'm not going to let them contaminate me with how they feel. I listen to you, but then I'm going to give you godly counsel. See, if more people gave more godly counsel instead of just falling in line with all the critics, oh, yeah, baby, I know how you feel. They did the same thing to me. See, then you feeding into it. Now you pouring water on that seed. You watering it. You supplying vitamins to it. You encouraging them in that. You know, there's another way that you kill a root is by famine. You take the water supply away. You take the fertilizer away, and the root will dry up. Can't exist without water. Praise God. When you find somebody that's always mean-spirited, bad attitude, when they have a darkened state of mind, that means they have wrong thoughts and wrong words continually, where they have resentment and hatred in their heart. These are all manifestations of bitterness. When you have backsliding, when people that used to walk with God, they lose their interest in church, it's because somebody done said something to them. You know, I've had people leave this church because I didn't speak to them. Now, was that really the problem? No, that ain't really the problem. I had a guy, this was years ago, ain't nobody here. Y'all probably don't even know these people. Okay, I'm not going to call any names, but there was a brother that I was praying with a couple of times a week early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. And one morning I come out the office, I came in here, he was standing at the back door, and something was going on in the sound system or something that somebody came and told me I need to come take a look at it, and man, I just darted by him. I ain't even see him, you know, because I was just focused on that task. I just went by him. And then after that Sunday, I didn't see him no more. Didn't see his family. So after a couple of weeks, I didn't see him. So I called, and he wouldn't even come to the phone and talk to me. So I had to talk to his wife. I said, well, what's wrong? Did I do something wrong? What done happened? Well, you heard him. I said, what'd I do? You didn't speak to him 2 weeks ago. You walked right by him and didn't speak to him. I said, well, I didn't even see him. Where was he? I said, you know what? If he's going to leave over something like that, y'all just go somewhere else. I said, I pray with him twice a week. I'm praying with him. I said, he ought to know me better than that. He ought to at least know my spirit by now. He's been praying with me.
Amen.
I said, he don't know me no better than that. I said, well, it's probably a good thing. Then their son got on the phone and wanted to chastise me. Talking about all the things I was doing wrong as a pastor. I was handling membership wrong. I said, young man, I ain't going to tell you what I told him. I ain't going to tell you what I told him. I said, son, you're really out of your league right now. He's 13 years old. Telling me I'm out of the will of God. Now, I will say this. When he got to be about 21, he came here and apologized to me. See, he carried that all them years. And then came here and asked me if he could be my armor bearer. I said, no, you can't be my armor bearer just like that. I have men here already. I said, now, you're welcome to come to church here. And say, I'll train you, but you just need to come to church here. He said, well, the Lord told me I was your armor bearer. I said, well, until he tell me that, you come to church here. He left. I ain't never seen him again. So he wasn't my armor bearer because he couldn't even take a little correction. You see how bitterness can take you so far down the wrong road. And some people will harbor hurt for years and years and years. And they'll have a repeated cycle. It'll keep coming up every so many years or months. They'll keep going around the same mountain over and over and over, and they never get any deliverance for it. And then it don't even matter where you're at. It don't matter whether you're here or whether you're in Dallas or whether you're in California, you carry that seed with you. It ain't got nothing to do with your location. How many of y'all see this? So, we see the root of bitterness. Don't let it get in you. If somebody's hurt you, I'm telling you, put the grace of God on it and lay the love of God right down. God has forgiven you for hurting others. Everybody here done hurt somebody. Right? All of us can find people that'll say, yeah, he hurt me. She hurt me. Well, God forgave you, so just forgive the person that hurt you.
Right.
Lay it out before God and then begin to pray for that person. And just say, Lord, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive. I refuse to allow this to grow in me any further.
Amen.
And you put the love of God on. You take God's grace because he'll give you the strength to uproot that thing.
Yes.
And then you stop feeding it.
Amen.
That means you stop talking about it.
Amen.
Now, the world will give you a different counsel. They'll tell you, keep talking about it. Make you feel good. You need that release. Well, you know, that's why they never get no deliverance. That's why they'll be in counseling and going to see a psychiatrist for 20, 25 years because they ain't no better. Because every time they come, he wants them to talk about it. And all they do is water that seed. Once you give it to the Lord, you know, if the devil reminds you of it, you say, Lord, I forgave him. Praise God. I thank you, Lord, I'm delivered from that. This is not going to grow in me. I'm going to be emotionally sound. I'm going to be stable. I refuse to allow that to hurt me any further. And the Lord Jesus will heal your heart. He can heal any hurt. You know, he came to heal the brokenhearted. So that's people that's been hurt. He knows how to heal it. He knows how to restore it. He knows how to make it just like it's new. He can make your heart new again. He can give you a new heart, brand new. Amen. Fill it up with the love of God. I'll tell you, the love of God will bring healing in your heart. You just got to choose to do it God's way. And then the last thing I'm going to talk to you about is the root of idolatry. In Deuteronomy 29:18. Now, you can go back and read this in its context, the scripture before and after. I'm just going to cover this one verse here. The Amplified Bible says, beware lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose mind and heart turns away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a poisonous root that bears gall and wormwood. A root that carries gall and wormwood. That gall is that bitterness. Wormwood was something that you ate back then that was sweet to the taste, but told your